My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's Mike Shope.
Name any word in less than a second. I will tell you how many letters are in it. But I cannot do anything mechanically. I don't even know how to put a game together for 3-year-olds.
And the Bulldog.
Fool me once. Shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, grooving along here on a Monday afternoon. Nice October day out there. Glad to have you. Don't adjust your sets. I know it's August. Maybe you're appreciating the cool down. That's your right. It'll be hot again by the weekend anyway. So enjoy a nice cool week. Give your air conditioning a break if you are so equipped. I am the Bulldog. Mike has the day off today. Happy to welcome back in to the show. It's been quite a little while here since the draft or so. Our man from CBS Sports, NFL Draft, and Young Player Analyst is the bio. Chris Trapasso joins us on the Wester Hotline. Hi, Chris. Nice to talk to you again. Man, how's your summer been?
It's been really good, and I just want to start by saying it's great to get back on this show. I know I was on during draft season, but to get on right before the start of a actual football season is always refreshing and a lot of fun.
All right, excellent. Well, I appreciate that, and we appreciate your availability, certainly. What kind of quarterback ideas you got, Chris?
I mean, guys that are buried
on depth charts that the Bills can go grab because they're going to need some guys.
Yeah, there's not anyone that really jumps out in terms of, like, low on the depth chart that I think could come in and be serviceable. I think we've seen beyond the Bills quarterbacking situation this preseason, around the NFL, you get into the second, third, and fourth quarters of these games, and it is pretty bad watching these quarterbacks try to even complete a pass. Do I think the Bills will certainly be peeking around if any of these, whether they're younger players at the quarterback spot or just veterans, if they get cut, that they could sign those players at the quarterback spot? I think so. The one that I've tweeted out, which I don't think that the Bills would necessarily do this because they've tried to kind of load up with cap space and with extra draft picks. Malik Willis, to me, in Tennessee, the fact that they brought in Mason Rudolph, I should say, and he's had a good preseason. It was kind of like at the outset of the offseason, it felt like, hey, Willis has gotten some opportunities, not a ton of sample size there, but he hasn't been great when he's played early in his career. We obviously know the receiver group hasn't been good. The offensive line, not amazing. That when they brought in Mason Rudolph, it kind of felt like, hey, this is going to be a legitimate camp battle for the number two spot behind Will Levis. And to me, I feel like, I mean, I know that during the Josh Allen development era, like from 2018 to 2020, he spoke directly to having a quarterback like Matt Barkley was so integral to him, who was kind of the opposite skill set that had to win with anticipation and understanding coverages. I think at this point, if you're the Bills, knowing what you have with Josh Allen as one of the, to me, top two quarterbacks in the NFL, and at times he's the best quarterback in the NFL, you want someone that has a similar skill set. So I know that it's been put out there, hey, you know, if he gets hurt, the Bills are done. But if he misses, like, two games with an ankle injury, you don't want that to totally sabotage maybe not your entire season, but suddenly you're now battling for a wild card spot instead of for the AFC East. I think Malik Willis, with his running ability, he's unafraid to make throws down the football field. He's very aggressive, and he looked good last preseason. He's looked good this preseason. I don't know if the Titans would outright cut him, but this current regime was not the regime that drafted him in 2022. And if they want Mason Rudolph, who has more experience, played well down the stretch for the Steelers last year in that long audition after Kenny Pickett went down, maybe you could finagle a late round pick to get him. Or if he does get cut, I think the Bills should be all over that because of the skill set similarities to Josh Allen.
I saw you tweeting about trading for him before before Trubisky got hurt. And I think Mike and I even maybe talked about it briefly. I like this idea a lot. And I agree, like, skill set wise, like, I know the guy has a lot to prove. Willis, I'm talking about here, as a passer. But you'd at least get running that is, I mean, I don't know how comparable, but he is, I think he's a much better runner at this point than he is a passer. Yeah. And I myself would prefer that to Trubisky because, Chris, when they brought him back even, I mean, what do I know? I'm just a dude hosting a radio show in Buffalo, but I thought watching him in Pittsburgh the last 2 years was painful.
Yeah, totally.
He doesn't want to pull the trigger. He doesn't see it quickly enough or whatever it is. I just don't have any faith. And like you said, I think you put it the exact, well, I'll say it's the exact right way because that's how I phrased it earlier. Like, sure, if something happens to Allen with a season-ending deal, I don't care who the backup is. This season is an inferno. Forget it. But if he has to leave for a series or two because the concussion spotter or miss, the back half of a game and then maybe the next one, I'd like to be as good as I can be there, and I just don't think Trubisky is it. So whether it's combing the waiver wire after the cuts next week or it's doing something now like you're suggesting, they're going to have to do something because they, at the very least, Chris, they need, I think, another dude to get through this game Saturday and then maybe more if Trubisky's injury is going to extend into the regular season.
Yeah, that's a great point. One last little suggestion here on this or just kind of where my thinking is coming from. The Bills are kind of learning after being super healthy in 2020 and 2021. Last couple of years, they've had more injuries. We're seeing all of it now, this super long injury list before the season. We'll see how available these players are once they get to the regular season. We know how the Bills, historically, under Sean McDermott, have been very precautious about injuries and want to keep guys on the shelf so they're not, risking aggravating those injuries later. But I think a microcosm of that would be the Bills have been very much in a luxurious situation where Josh Allen's like never been hurt. Like not even that little, I mean, since his rookie season when he was out with that shoulder injury, where he's, even if he's out 3 or 4 weeks, if you could bring in someone, and it doesn't necessarily only have to be Malik Willis, but someone who is more comparable or competent than Mitchell Trubisky to go 2-2 across four games instead of 0-4 or 1-3, again, that could be the difference in hosting a home playoff game, winning the division again, or not getting those things. So for as much as they've had Josh Allen's buddies back there, they're familiar with Kyle Allen, they're familiar with Matt Barkley and Trubisky, I think they have to realize, hey, for as big and for as physically imposing as Josh Allen is, not that they should predict an injury's coming, maybe he's just one of those super durable, like Phillip Rivers type of guys, but you have to prepare for, hey, what would happen if this injury thing continues and Josh Allen misses a few weeks. We want to be able to at least go 500 across 3 or 4 games.
Talking with our man Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports, NFL Draft, and young NFL player analyst on the Wester Hotline with me here on WGR. Okay, off of the quarterback injury point, linebacker has been a big story, of course, with last week's development concerning Matt Milano. I want to get some thoughts from you on Dorian Williams, a player I know we talked about when they drafted him year before last, but Joe Andreessen, Chris, what were your takeaways, and does today sound like a rush to anoint him the new Bills middle linebacker, like they stumbled into Luke Kuechly or something? Like, how are you taking in what has happened with Andreessen? Because it didn't seem fluky at all to me. He just looked good in the game on Saturday, maybe even great.
So my story about the Joe Andreessen game, which I think will always, the Bills followers, Bills fans, Bills Mafia will always remember that just otherwise insignificant preseason game is the Joe Andreessen game. I'm watching it for what you mentioned at the beginning of that question. I'm zeroed in on Dorian Williams. I loved him coming out of Tulane 2 years ago. I had high hopes for him, maybe even just playing as a third linebacker before the Milano injury. This is obviously the first game after we hear about that injury. And I think four or five plays in, I think the Steelers went three and out, and then on the next possession, I'm watching Dorian Williams, and I'm like, oh my God, Andreessen is to the football faster than him, and he's shedding a block, and he's the one that's setting up Dorian Williams to make a tackle near the line of scrimmage, or he's the one knifing through, kind of like Matt Milano does so many times we've seen. So it was almost like my attention was drawn away from Dorian Williams to watch Joe Andreessen. And I tweeted it earlier, or I think last night, or like early this morning. This is not some like unathletic overachiever like Rudy story. This Joe Andreessen, his relative athletic score, and I'm not sure if you and Mike talked about that a lot during the pre-draft process. I maybe brought it up. It's just a algorithm that a guy runs on the internet that basically ranks how athletic every player is based on their position. And then, of course, 40-yard dash, vertical, as much as they do during their workout. It's from 1 to 10. You don't really ever see guys in the 1s, but like 2, 3, 4, below average, 5, 6, 7, average. Get close to 10, you're an elite athlete. Joe Andreessen's RAS was 9.36. He had a 38-inch vertical. He ran in the 4.6s at 6 foot and 240 pounds. Had 30 bench press reps, which is a really high number for a linebacker. So I think locally it's easy for us to think, oh, UB kid, went undrafted. It's just, eventually it's going to catch up to him. And I think it ultimately could. I don't know if they stumbled on the next Luke Kuechly, like you were kind of saying tongue-in-cheek there. But this is a explosive athlete, and we know the history of Bobby Babich and certainly Sean McDermott with developing linebackers. So I think there's a lot to be excited about with Dorian Williams because he's more of the – just has a higher pedigree coming from Tulane and in his second year in the system. We saw those flashes last year. But I think with the injuries and just how well he played, just as that aggressive downfield linebacker getting off blocks, I think Joe Andreessen made the team against the Steelers.
That's really how I feel. And I'm glad to hear you say that because, we can rush to these things, and especially because it tugs at the heartstrings because he's, Lancaster High School and Depew, New York, and UB of it. So, it's a perfect storm. Like, we love to fall in love with the underdog guy here. I think most fan bases do, but certainly here. But you've got the local tie. So, to me, like, Chris, Baylen Spector, I know the Bills have liked him here, but it feels like every time there's been an opportunity for him to take advantage of someone else's misfortune by being out with injury, he ends up getting hurt too. And I think I'm ready to be done with that, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, late in the season last year in that, Steelers game, he gets injured in the playoffs. He would have had a great chance to show himself against the Chiefs. Instead, they have to call AJ Klein off the couch. We know how that turned out. With Andreessen, what I like, and I'm not going to, for as much as I think he did make the team with his play and because of the injuries, I'm not going to call him like the next Matt Milano, but what I like with him is that there is zero hesitation to his game. I think it's something that he already does better than Dorian Williams, where I think sometimes Dorian Williams is in his own head, and maybe that's from the coaches saying, hey, you had a very elementary system at Tulane, so you got to know where you got to be, you got to be here, and then if this is there, go this direction. Andreessen is a see the ball, get the ball guy, and we've seen that with Milano knifing into the backfield for tackles for loss. Sometimes that leads to a missed tackle, but I think over the years and throughout a game and throughout an entire season, Matt Milano makes more plays because he doesn't give offensive linemen the opportunity to get up into his chest or for the play to develop. He reads his keys quickly and then just gets there and has the athleticism and the explosiveness to get there. I've seen those flashes from Andreessen in these first two preseason games and, of course, especially against the Steelers.
This is where maybe you hang up on me. How far-fetched would it be to see about Bernard shifting over to Milano's spot and keeping Andreessen in the middle? Is that bonkers?
Okay, it's not crazy, but this is where I'll say, I'm coming on the show as the analyst, but I will certainly say that I don't know the Bills' scheme and every specific responsibility for every player. I feel like we talked about this last year when I thought that the middle linebacker, weak side linebacker delineation that everyone was freaking out about, like could Dorian Williams play there? Does Matt Milano? Right. But I felt like it's kind of silly because, again, when you're watching even that game on Saturday when there was not a lot of offensive fireworks, the linebackers are moving around all the time. One snap, they're on the outside covering the slot. The next snap, it's an inside run, and it's not as set up as it maybe is in the defensive playbook once you're actually out there. So to me, I think Terrell Bernard does have the quickness, the change of direction ability, the coverage skill to technically be the outside linebacker or the weak side linebacker and still do a lot of the things between the tackles. It kind of just, to me, is like how even 5 to 10 years ago we thought free safety, strong safety, and then especially in Buffalo, it's like you never knew where Mike Hyde were, like, was going to be, Jordan Poyer was going to be, that it was really interchangeable, those two spots. There was not a strong and a free safety. That's kind of how I feel about the linebacker spot, but it does feel like Sean McDermott likes Terrell Bernard in technically that middle linebacker role. But, again, what's good is he's not Brandon Spikes who can't play outside because
right.
he does have that quickness and that speed and was kind of an in-space linebacker at Baylor.
Yeah, I'm not eager to move Bernard. I loved him last year at middle linebacker, Chris. It's merely like, you know, really depends on whether or not Bernard could be better in the Dorian Williams slash Milano spot and with Andreessen holding down the spot that Bernard is currently holding down. Like, get my best 11 on the field sort of idea here.
That's and, how I feel.
Yeah, so I'm very curious to see how that turns out. I mean, I know that that's why I joked like you're going to hang up on me because it's, you know, it was a preseason game. But I think Andreessen really looked the part. I don't think the hype has been, I mean, probably somewhere it's too much, but I feel like we're in the right lane here, I feel like. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports on the Western Hotline with us here. All right, what else here from the game? Coleman should have caught that ball in the end zone, right?
I think so. I mean, the only and this is coming from someone that, again, and I'm on the record, I did not love the pick. I don't.
Yep.
I didn't think the Bills should have picked him where they did. Trading down was nice, but I will give him a little bit of slack here that this was a preseason game, and I mean, was that in his head? You would think for a 21-year-old rookie trying to prove himself that he probably should just try to make that catch and take the hit and just see what happens. But yes, I think that if you're going to be positioned as this big body box out kind of guy that Josh Allen can be relying upon to throw the football into traffic and you're going to make plays, you would like to see him make that catch.
Yeah, that's an exact, I said that earlier. Like I'm not expecting the way he reads, and really I think a lot of what we've seen so far, I'm not expecting him to be creating great separation on his own. I'm expecting him to have to catch balls in traffic because that's, I think, how what his resume sounds like. So I know, yeah, the guy's going to hit you, but there's going to be traffic, dude. Like I just thought it was, you know, I don't know, lack of concentration. He probably, the guy coming at him was in his head. The news flash is, Chris, you know this, you're going to get hit there either way. So you might as well make the catch.
Good point.
You know, just go ahead and be a hero and make the catch. So yeah, that was really disappointing to see. On the flip side, Ray Davis looked pretty nice.
He did. I mean, he looked, I saw Bruce Nolan on Twitter tweeted that he got some Doug Martin vibes from him, and I can kind of see that because Ray Davis is small. He's like 5'8", but he's 211. Like, he's short, but he's very, very stocky. I thought he ran with a lot of decisiveness, which was kind of what he did at Kentucky when I scouted him this past spring. I didn't see a crazy elusive running back, but you saw him make a few defenders miss in space. That's really good. I think the Bills know what they have with James Cook. He's more, you know, sleek, one cut, and just crank the throttle down and show that 4.4 speed. They like Ty Johnson a lot as kind of a change of pace guy. To have Ray Davis with more of a low center of gravity that can push the pile and then show what he did against the Steelers, maybe make that linebacker miss on a second and short, and suddenly it's a 20 or 30 yard gain. I think Brandon Bean would be, you know, really excited if he does enough to garner some legitimate carries during the regular season.
Right. Couple of other rookies that I want to get your thoughts on. Daquan Hardy has become something of a story, I think. I think he's getting great reviews for his play in the secondary. And I don't know. I mean, 30-yard punt return. I mean, he handled the ball cleanly all night Saturday. I'm starting to feel like this is a guy that maybe makes the roster, maybe largely because of the return ability.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it was stock up for him in that game. Just with the return, and then he got his hands on the football twice. One I thought should have been an interception. It went, like, right through his hands.
Yeah.
I've tweeted it a few times just when he's made some plays, whether it be in camp, and I wasn't there every day, but I went. And when I was there, I think it was on a Sunday, he made a few plays. And from talking to the other beat reporters that I'm sure you guys have on a lot, they said that he's had a pretty good camp for being a sixth-round rookie. I've tweeted that this guy is a crazy explosive athlete. That he ran 4.38 and had a 42.5-inch vertical. And the one play that I was referencing that he should have intercepted, that he was playing zone, he was sinking down the left sideline.
Mm-hmm.
And then where that explosiveness kind of comes into play, it was not man-to-man, it was zone, and we know that the Bills are one of the zone-heaviest teams in the NFL. He slammed on the brakes and exploded back toward the football, where I think a lot of times quarterbacks see that initial space and think, oh, I can throw the football over there. It's the guys that can stop and then start and accelerate in a hurry that either get those interceptions or just break up the football. So I think Daquan Hardy, he has that elusiveness or that suddenness, I should say, mm-hmm. to be in the slot, to be that classic backup to Taron Johnson, and then in the meantime return some kicks, because he did flash like that or in that part of the game at Penn State.
Back to the injury list, Javon Solomon, it's not terrible news. He's, you know, gonna be out just limited this week. He had a calf injury from Saturday night. That's another player that I know we talked about when we recapped the draft. Undersized but long arms, and you've been a fan of this guy, and I think he's, boy, if he can stay healthy here, I feel like he maybe has earned a spot in the rotation at defensive end, or is that too much?
I think he has. I mean, all offseason after the Bills picked him, I thought, okay, you have your Greg Rousseau, you have A.J. Epinesa, you have Von Miller coming back, and I think the Bills are, and it seems like it's going to be Dwayne Smoot who's going to be that fourth defensive end, just because he's a little bigger, can play inside if you need him to. But I was wondering who's going to be that fourth defensive end as a pass rusher. And I think Smoot can still be a quality player there. But Solomon, with the 16 sacks that we all saw during the game that led college football last year, what I loved about him and what I thought was just a great roll of the dice in the fifth round for the Bills, 6 foot, not even 250, so like you see him and he kind of looks like a fullback. He has like over 33-inch arms. He has like the normal length that you want for an offensive tackle. So if I'm going through the draft and we're getting into day three and I need a pass rusher and I'm like, oh, these guys, you know, there's something wrong with these players. That's why they're still available. And I come across someone with that production, but he's at that size, I would love for him to have very long arms. A lot of the 6 foot, 240-pound pass rushers have 31-inch arms, 32-inch arms, and a lot of them ultimately struggle getting just off blockers. We saw the one pressure that he had late in the game on Broderick Jones, who is a former first-round pick just 2 years ago, did not have a good game. Greg Rousseau really kind of tossed him aside on those two sacks. But for Solomon to be able to use those arms and his low center of gravity to push aside a former Georgia offensive lineman who's much bigger and stronger than him was really impressive. I just liked his overall pass rush skill set at Troy. Not tremendous in any area. He wasn't a freaky athlete. I didn't think he had amazing pass rush moves, but he wasn't only trying to win with power or only trying to win around the corner. He understands that you have to vary up your rushes a little bit to keep these offensive linemen on their toes. And we've seen that through two preseason games. Like you mentioned, I think at this point, once he returns from injury, he has earned a spot, maybe not as a 40, 50 snap per game guy, but on second and nine, on third and seven, I think he deserves to get some opportunities as kind of a pass rushing specialist for the Bills.
And I think he'll play special teams too. He's done that here this summer too. And like, so yeah, that's, and maybe with the, you know, the different kickoff rules, maybe a player of his stature is a better idea than, you know, the smaller, faster guys have been over the years. Anything real quick here, because we got to go. We've kept you long already. Dwayne Carter, I feel like his name has not come up in this room very often here since, you know, training camp and these preseason games started. Have anything on the early returns on the third round rookie?
No, well, I think the fact that he has been playing late in the game with the third team, like distinctly the third team out there, I think is kind of, it should be a wake up call for him. The one concern that I had with him, similar to what I had with Solomon, but it was kind of with a positive vibe with Solomon as compared to Carter, is that he was kind of like good at everything, but he wasn't really great at anything. I didn't think he was really that strong. I didn't think his pass rush move arsenal was that great. Tested like an okay athlete, and it kind of felt like, and this is not to say that the Bills should be finding guys who are bad dudes, but it felt like when they picked him in the third round, it was all about, he was a captain for 3 years. He's a great guy. He could be a politician. And I didn't hate the selection. I was kind of banging the table for another pass rusher next to Ed Oliver, who's a little undersized. I just don't think he's necessarily put it all together yet, because he can't really lean on one trait or one thing. He wasn't really great at anything at Duke. He was just rock solid for his final three seasons and has so much character and charisma that he's probably actually an overachiever based on his natural talent and his skill set. With Solomon, you get a little bit more natural ability.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly think going into last preseason game, Dwayne Carter needs to, at least if he's playing with the third team against second and third string offensive linemen, he needs to kind of show himself. I don't think he's in danger of being cut, being a third round pick, but if this doesn't change, he's going to start not really playing that much as a rookie.
All right, Chris, we kept you a long time. Thank you so much for making the time, and I hope it's not too long before we revisit. I mean, college football begins on the weekend, so like we'll...
Yes, I love that.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Thanks. Excellent job as always, man.
Thanks. Bye.
That is Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports NFL draft analyst and young player analyst as well, going over some of what we've seen so far through two preseason games from this Bills rookie class and, you know, some guys that were drafted prior to this past April as well. 803-0550, you got any reaction, anything we just talked about with Chris, about the young guys on the roster, the injury bug here, backup quarterback, you got an idea you like out there, somebody you're kind of squatting on, hoping becomes available, have at it. 803-0550 is the number. Mike is away today. He'll be back tomorrow along with Zach Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.